Thank you, Scott. I admire Scott and his precious wife and how faithful they are. They drive a long way to get here from Yorkville every Sunday and every Wednesday. Well, I invite you this evening to turn to Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. That's page 877 in my Bible. I don't know where it is in yours. But tonight, I want to share with you a message entitled, Is God Listening? And I've never preached from Habakkuk all the way through, so I'm going to do that the next 4 or 5 Wednesday nights. I think you'll find application to us personally and to our nation. The prophecy that Habakkuk the prophet received. How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you don't save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There's strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I'm going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if I told you in advance. I love the Bible scholar Warren Wiersbe. He made this statement. He said, if you know somebody who is a Christian who says that they never go through trials and that they never have any questions about what God is doing, they are lying to themselves and to you, or he said they're not growing and experiencing real life. Habakkuk was not that kind of believer. He was a realist. He surveyed the situation in the land of Judah, and he was troubled. Habakkuk is only 3 chapters. It's only 52 verses, 56 verses, and 1,373 words. Habakkuk is only mentioned in the book that bears his name. He is what we would call a minor prophet. Don't let that confuse you, because that does not mean that his message was not empowered by the Lord. The major prophets had the most to say. The minor prophets had the least. But you need to gauge this by quality and not quantity. The theme of the book is in chapter 2. Verse 4, trust the just shall live by faith. And Paul quotes that verse in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, Galatians 3:11, and Hebrews 10:38. The reformer, the theologian Martin Luther said this, that the ministry of Habakkuk was to take people into his arms and carry his nation to God. So we begin here looking at some questions that Habakkuk had about the state, the spiritual state of Judah. First of all, the burden he experienced in verse 1, the prophecy that Habakkuk the prophet received. He's wrestling with the heavy weight of the spiritual condition of his people. So the first thing you want to write down is the burden that consumed him. The name Habakkuk means to embrace. And what he is doing here is he has a burden for his nation because of their sin. And moving further and further away from God, and he embraces that burden. That burden is beginning to absolutely consume his entire being. But you look a little further, you see much of the burden was due to the fact that Judah was full of sin, strife, and idolatry was the major religious activity of the day. People had moved away from the worship of God to the worship of idols. He also saw that the poor were mistreated and the rich were dominating their world. Habakkuk was consumed with this burden for his own people. Now, all of you know what it's like to be consumed with a burden. It dominates your thoughts. You go to bed with it. You wrestle. You turn back and forth trying to sleep. You take it to work with you. It's involved with your family life. It absolutely consumes you. And so that's exactly where Habakkuk was about the people of God. Notice the burden that convicted him about his nation. That was not only a burden which Habakkuk sensed in his heart, but it was one that he was seeing with his eyes. He saw the spiritual problems of the people. Habakkuk knew that the kingdom of Judah was rapidly deteriorating. If you know a little Bible history, you know that Josiah brought God's people closer to him. But when he experienced an untimely death, then his son Jehoiakim came along, and he led the nation away from God and closer to disaster. Habakkuk sensed the problem, and Habakkuk saw the problem, and he couldn't understand why God would sit idly by and let this nation go down the slippery slope of ungodliness. I hope that someday you'll get a copy of the book Shaken by Tim Tebow. It's an excellent book, and you know, through the years, Tim Tebow has had problems getting on with the team. The main difficulty he has is he's a practicing Christian, and most NFL teams are woke, and they have no desire to have somebody on the field that has a Christian testimony. But he says back in 2015, he had had no offers for quarterback, and one day Chip Kelly called him. Chip Kelly was the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. He said, "I think you'd be a good fit for quarterback with Philadelphia." He says, "We had three on the roster, and I want to sign you." So he got excited. He said, "I'll accept it," and he did. And he said, as he began to think about this, in his head, he said, "I was thinking about, man, I'm going to be a Philadelphia Eagle." And he said, "We're going to win our division, and we're going to win the Super Bowl as an Eagle." So he went to training camp, and then they went through preseason. They had four quarterbacks on their roster. The last game that they played in 2015 as preseason games, there he was, Tim Tebow, getting his first start. Well, they lost to the New York Jets 24-18. But he said he had won an award that was given to quarterbacks and running backs for most improved during camp. He said he had a great completion record in that Jets game. And he said, "I was just feeling so good about that." And he said, "When I went off the field, there were people from the press and some of my friends said, 'Well, that performance tonight, that'll lock you in as the number three or number two quarterback with the Philadelphia Eagles.'" He said, "The following Saturday, I found out that the third string quarterback had been traded to the Arizona Cardinals." He said, "I knew I was at least number three. They were going to keep three quarterbacks." 10 o'clock that Saturday morning, Coach Kelly called and said, "Tim, I'm sorry, but we're cutting you today from the team. You need more reps and you need more experience." And Tim Tebow said, "How difficult it is to pray about a burden that's on your heart, and all God gives you is weight." That's the picture of Habakkuk as he's looking at his nation. Now, notice the brokenness that he felt. Now, remember I said that his name means to what? It means to embrace. He embraced the burden, but he also embraced the one that could do something about Judah. He was embracing his God. So his battle went through several stages. Notice here, "Do you hear me now?" Now notice, if you will, there's the word "call" here. And in verse 2, and it depends on your translation, some of them in that first, "How long, Lord, must I call for help?" Some say, "How long must I cry to help?" That's good. But then you go down a little bit further, the middle of the verse, "or cry out to you." That first word there for cry, the Hebrew word, actually means to ask for help. The second word there means to shout, to cry out to God for help. He's screaming. In other words, the louder Habakkuk prayed, the more silence he heard. He said it was like my prayers were falling on deaf ears, and that God was dumb to what was going on here on earth. He had prayed about this for some time. Lord, how long shall I cry? He said he cried, he begged, he pleaded. God, we need revival in this nation of yours. And Habakkuk poured out his heart to God and prayed that God would do something about the violence, the strife, and all the injustice in the land, but God didn't seem to hear his prayer. I've been with people in the hospital, and they have somebody in ICU, and they'll look at you and say, well, we've been praying, and we've been praying hard, but I don't think God hears our prayers. I had a family one time in a church, and if anything bad could happen to them, it did. It was not by their choice. It was automobile accident or cancer or heart attack. It just went on and on and on. And I remember talking to the wife, the mother there, and I asked her about that. She said, I keep looking for God in my prayers, and I just can't find him anywhere in our situation. I like what somebody said. He said, God's not deaf. God's delays are not denials. When God seems silent today, it's because he's going to speak someday. So when prayer seems unheard, don't give up. They said, look up. And then he asked, do you see me now? Look at verse 3. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to behold the grievance? Here's what he's saying. God, you've given me a front row seat on the land of Judah. I'm seeing all the injustice. I'm seeing all the sin. I'm seeing all the violence. I'm seeing the mistreatment of the poor. It's like I'm in a theater. I am front row, the most expensive seats in the house. And I keep crying out. And it's as if you can't see me and you can't hear me. Delane's father used to have some of the best Bible study men in his pulpit. And I remember Andrew Telford was one. He's in heaven now. And here's what he said. Habakkuk saw evil in his nation. And it was like evil was in a saddle. And evil was marching to victory in that saddle. Look at the word behold. In verse 3, I think God just caused Habakkuk to see, not only with his physical eyes, but the eyes of his heart, what was going on. He says, behold, what was taking place. In other words, God stopped Habakkuk straight up and down in his tracks. And he said, I want you to see what's going on here. The iniquity, the grievance, the violence, the strife, the contention. And Habakkuk has hit bottom. And he must have been wondering, is life a joke? Is life really worth living? And then the third thing there, in a part of this process, he says, God, do you care? You know, Mosaic law was the foundation of the Jewish national law. And in verse 4, he said the law is slacked. In other words, it's discarded, it's overlooked. And judgment never happens. For the wicked do whatever they want to, and they compass about the righteous. Therefore, wrong judgments proceed. That word slack there means paralyzed. In other words, the nation is so deteriorated that by the time Josiah had come along to the throne, they did not have a copy of the law of God. The law of God had been discarded. It had completely vanished. The law of God was gone. And as a result, the temple had fallen into disarray and disrepair. Notice the law of God, he says, was set aside. and every form of wickedness prevailed in the land. If people knew the law of God, they certainly did not live by the law of God because they had become paralyzed. Notice the next part. Through all this, God seemed to be unconcerned. The greatest tragedy that Habakkuk saw in this situation is God is standing idly by. If God is loving, if God is gracious, if God is merciful, how can he allow this to go on in our nation? Now, be honest. I look around today and I ask the same question. Where did our founding fathers get the basis for our laws? The Ten Commandments. They got the principles for the laws of this nation from the Bible. And so I think our nation is moving further from God than we've ever been. And when you look at it a little bit further, we see that we don't even call sin sin anymore. We've got other names for that. We've got situation ethics. If it feels good, do it. We've got political correctness. Our nation spiritually has become paralyzed. Now notice this. I'm reminded of Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. My spirit shall not always strive with man. How much longer is God going to be merciful with America? I was watching a political ad. I cannot believe that abortion is one of the main issues for the next election. We should have never come to this. One party will look at a candidate and say, well, they're against all abortions. We're for the women's right to choose. But you know what? They never finished that statement. The woman's right to choose to do what? We're talking about human life. If you abort puppies, you're going to do time. But if you abort human life, it's a woman's right to choose, and it is not guaranteed by the Constitution of the United States. And that's where we are. So Habakkuk is fighting a battle. Now notice a wonderful solution. I really love this. J. Oswald Saunders wrote this. He said, the very fact that God lays a burden of prayer on your heart and keeps us praying is prima facie evidence that he purposes to grant the answer. Now God speaks. Look at what he says. After four verses of silence, in verse 5, he says, look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I'm going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if I told you. So Habakkuk's praying for an answer, but God starts out and he says, well, I want to give you a revelation. He said, I'm aware of what's going on down here. He says, I've been watching over the entire situation. I've heard the cries of the prophet. And he says, I'm going to show you something that you ain't going to believe. In other words, the prophet, when he sees what God's going to do, is going to be speechless. Write this down. God didn't give Habakkuk an explanation. He gave him a revelation. He said, Habakkuk, you're not needing an answer. You need a new appreciation for me. The truth of the matter is that God doesn't owe us or give us any explanations if he doesn't want to, but he does so to bless us with revelation. Draw near to God, he draws near to you. You're in the middle of a crisis. You don't have an answer. You don't have an explanation. You don't even have a solution. He says, the revelation is, you need to come closer to me. What did Habakkuk's name mean? He embraced the burden, but God says, now you need to do what? You need to embrace me. I'm going to do something that you are absolutely not going to believe. Now notice God's supply. Look at verse 5. He says, for I will work a work in your days which you're not going to believe, though it be told to you. So not only did he give him a word of revelation, you will write this down, he gave him a word of exaltation. In other words, God says, what I'm going to do among the nation of Judah is going to be so great that all glory, honor, and praise is going to go to me, your mighty heavenly Father. That's one of the major keys to unlocking the book of Habakkuk. God is setting forth his ways in the world. And he gives some insight into his ways, his will, and his works for the children of God. God's declaring that although the prophet didn't understand it, he didn't see it, he didn't discern it, God says, I'm active. God was not sleeping. God was not slumbering. God was not hiding his eyes. He wasn't closing his ears. And now it's going to come a miracle. God reveals his divine work of exaltation to remind the prophet that when he is finished, I'm going to be magnified. The choir for years sang that song, look what the Lord has done. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That's Southern gospel song, and it just rocks the ceiling and the walls. And it's like, look what the Lord has done. Regardless of what you're up against tonight, God is not silent. He's not idle in the heavens. He's just not shown what he's going to do yet. And how many times have I heard the choir up here singing, and we have a soloist out front? He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. He's never early. He's never late. He's always right on time. Sometimes at night when I can't sleep, I'll get up and I'll go back to my study and turn on the TV back there, and there'll be something on in black and white back there, something old. And I remember one time Cecil DeMille's work is what? The Ten Commandments. I want you to know that that was all put out again in March of 2020 on Blu-ray. And this release includes the original 1923 silent movie, and then it includes the 1956 classic with voices, music, and sound effects. And let me just share with you several of the unique scenes in this movie. I can remember turning it on and seeing some of this at night when I couldn't sleep. DeMille cast who as Moses? Charlton Heston. Do you know why he did that? Because DeMille had seen Michelangelo's statue of his best guess of what Moses looked like. And so when DeMille saw Michelangelo's statue, he said, this guy over here named Charlton Heston looks a lot like this statue here. So he said, I think I'll get him in this movie. And the voice for the burning bush scene, whose voice was that? For God. Charlton Heston. Remember Baby Moses? You know who Baby Moses was? Charlton Heston's 3-month-old son. But here's what I like the most, because I saw this in black and white, the old movie one night. It was a part in one of these movies where the Red Sea was parting. Now, how in the world do you do that with a movie? Well, let me tell you what DeMille did. He got two big tanks that held 350,000 gallons of water apiece, and he put them opposite of each other. And then he got water that could be shot up in there into these big tanks. And he mixed the water with gelatin. And then they filmed the filling of the tanks. That's 700,000 gallons of water with gelatin in it. And he got a gigantic wind machine and put it out there and turned it on. And they actually filmed the filling up of the tanks. But then when they cut the film, they showed the filling of the tanks in reverse. So it would look like the parting of the Red Sea. You see, humans can fake miracles. And with movies and technology, we can show them in forward and reverse. But I want you to know our God is the God of miracles. And he can do it in forward and reverse. And it's the real thing. America needs a miracle. America needs Jesus. And Jesus has already performed the miracle by dying on the cross for our sins. Now, God can do it in forward or he can do it in reverse. Some of you are here tonight. You need a miracle. He can do it in our personal lives, in forward or in reverse. Habakkuk is a minor prophet with a major message that you and I need to hear in the 21st century. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for meeting with us. And Lord, thank you for this Old Testament book. It's proof once again that your word is alive and is eternal. And Lord, we do pray for our nation. We're not wanting you to perform a miracle down here so it'll be a nicer place from which people can go to hell. What we need is a place where we allow the gospel to shine, people respond. And Lord, it's going to take brokenness before the hearts and the minds of this nation are ready to listen. So as we go through personal trials and we shoulder burdens with people next to us, and as we look at our nation, we look to you, we cry out, you're not deaf, dumb, and blind to what's going on down here. You will bring your miracle in your timing when it's going to bring glory to you. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Good night.